My name is Richie Sessions. I'm the pastor of Independent Presbyterian Church. You saw that. I was tan in that picture. It's really, in the short amount of time, I can't possibly go into everything that I've experienced and just the way just being here today is such an honor. It's so humbling to be here and to be part of this process. But I come from a church. I've been at IPC for 7 years in a church that it looks much different than the church of 1965. And that's because of the leadership that many of them are represented in this room. I won't make you stand up. But the elders that had a heart for the issue of racial reconciliation. And long before, I was still in junior high when they had a heart for it. And it just so happened that in God's good providence that I was the senior pastor at this time and it was ripe for us to say something about this. And the guiding passage for us as a church. Now, let me tell you, just before I do that, IPC grew to a church of over 2,000 people. So we're not a little church. Just right up the road on Walnut Grove, if you don't know. So really close. The church grew, especially under the ministry of the Reverend John Sartell, who was the pastor from 1977 to 2005. But after 2005, there was a change in leadership, and John Hardy came on in 2006, and he was here for 9 months total, and that's another story to discuss. But these elders had a guiding passage, and I was among them. Had a guiding passage that really informed everything we did on this issue of our history of independent and the constitution that you saw, the segregation that you see. That's what it was. Here it is. I'll read it for you. I'm a preacher, so I'm going to read some passage. I'm going to read scripture. This is when Paul opposes Peter in Antioch. When Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, "I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." And here's the verse. "But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all of them, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" In other words, at the beginning of the church, there was segregation between Jew and Gentile, which threatened this young little fledgling flock of Christians in the first century. Can you imagine the implications had Peter barred Gentiles? Could you imagine what that would have done to the gospel? And so, Paul confronts Peter and says, "You're not living in line or in step with the truth of the gospel. And we as a church want to live in line with the truth of the gospel and the way that we look at our history." So first and foremost, we're a church that believes in the centrality of the gospel, and the gospel not just being that you are forgiven of your sins. That's central. The death of Jesus, we believe, we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done. He lived the life we could never live, and He died as a sacrifice for us. But we believe that the gospel is an overhaul of the entire universe. We believe that the gospel is the beginning of the end of evil. The beginning of the end of oppression and segregation. We believe that the gospel is God's new creation sprung upon the world, and that every nation, tribe, and tongue will be brought together in it. That's what we believe the gospel is. Therefore, we have on our website, we believe in the centrality of the gospel. We could put that out there. What does that mean for us? Now, which brings me to the second point. Peter's sin was public, and it was institutional. And so we believed as a session that our past, our history, was both institutional and public. And it undermined the gospel that we say we believe. And so our goal in 2010 was to form an ad hoc committee, and that's what we did. We formed committees. That's what Presbyterians do. What are we going to do first? We've got to form a committee, and then we're going to eat. We formed a committee, and this was our goal. First and foremost, we want to break the silence about our history. People say, why are you bringing this up? Why are we bringing this up? Why are we bringing this up? The reason we're bringing it up is because we have a public face in a city where Martin Luther King was assassinated 3 years after our church started. We cannot be silent. We thought silence, and this is the word that one of our elders used. We believed that silence about this issue was unconscionable for us, for the glory of Jesus in our city. So the ad hoc committee was formed, made up of Sam Graham, Martin Fleming, David Caldwell, and myself. And the first thing we did is we wanted to become more familiar with the history of Independent Presbyterian Church, which included reading documents like the one you saw today, which included meeting with Steve Haynes, who was so gracious. He came to some of our early morning meetings, and I had meetings with him, and we had conversations about our past, and we talked openly and honestly, and we found out that Steve was interested in the redemptive part of this story. Not just as an expose about another white church, but interested in what God has been doing at IPC, in the fact that the gospel has been preached, in the fact that people have come to know Christ, and in the fact that since its beginning, many people have not endorsed racism and segregation. But they have privately and silently, but boldly, been a part of ministry in this city. He was interested in how has IPC gotten to this place now. He was interested. And so were we. We wanted to tell the story because the Session of Independent believes that God loves to bless right in the place of the curse. Because that's where He gets the most glory. So we formed the ad hoc committee. We studied the PCA, which is the Presbyterian Church in America. That's the denomination that we're in. Don't get me started on how many denominations there are in Presbyterianism. We're one of them. And the PCA, it had a letter about the issue about our founding as a denomination. And we wanted to take that national letter, our denominational letter, and apply it to our own local context. And so that's what we did. We made our congregation familiar with the pastoral letter. We made our session familiar with our PCA pastoral letter, which renounced and repudiated racism in our denomination, and we wanted to apply that to our own church. And so four resolutions were passed by the Session of Presbyterian Church, and I'll read them for you. This is a result of our committee and our session. First is that the Congregation of Independent Presbyterian Church shall be informed of the pastoral letter on gospel and race. And here's what that means. We want them to know the history of our church. And so I preached a sermon, Mother's Day 2012. Don't ask me why I preached Mother's Day, but it was a full house. It just fell on Mother's Day, and that's when we did it. Second, that we set aside a season of prayer and a study of Scripture regarding corporate and individual confession of sin with specific acknowledgement of the sin of racism in our own hearts and in our institution, using the Scripture-based pastoral letter as our guide. So we began this process. Third, on behalf of the session, there's a public address that I preached a sermon on this issue, that there was corporate confession and repentance. And Sam Graham came up to the pulpit after I preached the sermon, and he read these resolutions, and he prayed a prayer. He publicly, as a member of our session, said, "We're breaking the silence." And then four, as a church, we will strive to be more intentional and proactive with ministry opportunities for the congregation to serve the city of Memphis as redemptive, gospel-driven agents seeking the peace and prosperity of all of Memphis, Jeremiah 29. And that's where we are now. We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go as individuals. We have a long way to go as a church. But our session, our leadership, the pastors, have a heart for making this central to who we are, because we believe Christ will be made famous as a result of this in our city, and that His people in this city will be loved. So we've been involved in ministries. We could list a lot of the same ministries that Larry listed off. Streets Ministry, Neighborhood Christian Center. But we've also been very involved, even in recent years, in Christ Church with Mike Weinbrenner, who I see here today, who is very involved in Horn Lake in planning a racial reconciliation, the church that's based on racial reconciliation, a cross-cultural church. Or I see Richard Reeves out there. Richard Reeves, he was in the PCA, now he's in the EPC. I don't know where he's going to be next. But he's planted a church in downtown Memphis, and he has a heart for them. They're doing awesome work, and we've been a part of that work and supportive of that work. We've been part of work in like New Beginnings here in Memphis. So we've been, as a church, involved in ministry. But here's the thing. It's not going to happen until people like me and people like you start having real relationships. I think that's central. Because, folks, that's what heaven is going to look like. Thank you so much for this, Steve. I thank you, Sandy. I thanks for hosting this. And I hope, and I want to say this last thing, that this was not just an issue of racial reconciliation. This was a church split. And I look forward to continuing our partnership in ministry from Independent Presbyterian Church and Second Presbyterian Church for the glory of God. Amen. Thanks.